The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today we have a return guest, Sebastian Martin, the world's foremost remote viewer. And we are going to continue our discussion about 3i Atlas and what happens next here on planet Earth and humanity over the next couple of years. And we're going to continue the discussion after this week's show with yet another one leading up to a big change that's going to happen apparently around 2029. But for today's show, we're going to get into picking up where we left off with the discussion we had a few weeks ago about 3i Atlas. We were kind of connecting all the dots and sewing up all the loose ends, because the information that came across from November through December into January about Atlas was fast and furious and ever-changing. And I think a lot of people thought, like, well, I thought there was a big threat for planet Earth and nothing happened. Well, we got into and will continue to get into the reasons why the participation of the Galactic Federation, which is a group made up of people on Earth, Secret Space Force, etc., and some other planetary influences from other planets, and also the Galactic Alliance, which kind of stays out of our affairs unless there's a direct attack on Earth, if you consider and if you believe all of this. Apparently, we dodged a bullet back in November. A lot of people were prepping for what could happen in terms of a Draco-Reptilian attack on Earth via 3i Atlas, and then nothing happened, and a lot of people said, oh, look at that, bunch of nonsense alarmists out there. But maybe that wasn't the case. So we're going to get into that again with Sebastian, and we're going to move forward from that point into what's going to happen over the next year or so here on planet Earth, and what did the Draco Reptilians have in mind for us as they circle back and approach Earth once again.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role, just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to welcome back Sebastian Martin. Sebastian, as we know, is one of our favorite guests on the show. He's a remote viewer. He used to be CEO of the Weberspoon Manuka Honey Company, which is a wonderful product. And Sebastian gave it all up when he was drawn to do the work he's doing now, which is he's doing remote viewing. He's working with alphabet agencies. He's helping star seeds. He's helping humanity be in a position where we can raise up and continue as a species and understand who we are, what we are, and what we have to offer. Sebastian also runs Telenovelas. It's a center up in Duncan, British Columbia, where you have week-long workshops, if you will, on a lot of different things as a star seed, learning things about remote viewing, learning about your star family, and so many other things. And a lot of people's gifts have been emerged who have attended those classes, including my wife is now doing some remote healings. I have felt that my vibration has gone way up since then, and it's just amazing. And after each workshop, the teams get together and it keeps growing, and our purpose is to help humanity. So thank you so much for coming back for part two of our discussion with Sebastian Martin. Last time we spoke about 3i Atlas and a lot of the other activities that surrounded that experience.
That's right. Well, thanks for having me again, Robert. Okay. I appreciate it.
So let's pick up where we left off. What we want to do in the first show is really clear up. A lot of people had questions about 3i Atlas because the landscape changed very quickly in November. It seemed like the Dracos were on the way here. Then Atlas, everybody saw Atlas watching the news, and then it got disabled, apparently. It's been kind of taken out, and then there was nothing in the news anymore about it. However, what you had discussed, Sebastian, is that even though 3i Atlas was disabled and the Draco reptilians on board were teleported out, and this huge hybrid ship run by the Greys, Swan, was kind of moved out on its own, so we don't see that, and Atlas has been moved out of the Earth's kind of atmosphere, if you will. Supposedly, as you had mentioned, two Draco ships are now have decided to come back because they didn't like 3i Atlas being disabled because, you know, they had their intention to kind of take over Earth. Now, you had mentioned early on, Sebastian, that we were going to see them kind of enter our atmosphere, if you will, our universe in January or around January, and then they'd be back where they were with Atlas around June, July, or August of this year. Let's start there, and then we can move forward, because I think you did a great job of wrapping everything up for everyone. So where are the Dracos?
Yeah. So the Dracos, so the two ships that are coming in into our solar system is basically entering our universe, basically from the Draco constellation. So this is the same path as 3i Atlas. It's basically heading towards Earth. But again, the threat behind that has been minimized by, one, the fact that NASA already knows about this. The governments already know what happened to 3i Atlas. Therefore, they don't seem to be that concerned. However, the threat has, I would say, different kind of ramifications. It's not so much that the ships would be a direct threat. The two ships coming in, you know, working in tandem, will be acting as a portal to Earth. So what I've gathered, since then, is that the Drake reptilians will be coming through portals on Earth from those ships. They won't be sending out some crafts or anything else. So regardless of how the Galactic Alliance would try to disable them as they come near to Earth, they plan to do this directly onto Earth. And I believe that that's going to be the start of a major war between humanity and the Drake reptilians. So again, this is like kind of new. I don't think anybody has really anticipated that. But the workshops I'm doing with Terra Novelis and the last group that I had, it was so different that each one of them had an actual recollection of what's of all these events, as to what's going to happen, what is their star family, and also what is their function. Most of them had no idea who they were. They came over here without knowing what to expect. They didn't have a star family. They had no idea whatsoever. You know, one of them was an accountant. She arrived, Jinwa. She basically said, I don't know what I'm here. I just signed up and I don't know what it is. I want to find out what it is. And she discovered so much about herself, and she was able to see herself with other attendees from the work group in the future doing some actual work on the mission, fighting the Draco reptilians. Wow. And this was the case for every one of them in this workshop.
Okay.
That was so incredible.
So if the Dracos are planning a different modus of attack on Earth by coming directly through the portals, there are a finite number of portals on Earth, as I have read about. Why can't we kind of shut those portals down or be ready for them to come through?
Yeah, so the people that were basically part of the star families on Earth as human beings will be able to access that, because they're going to be getting upgrades from now on until that happens. So this is ongoing, and this is actually quite pressing. It seems like, you know, the more I'm receiving people, the more I'm communicating with people, the more I'm seeing that this emergence of new memories, you know, comes on so fast. And those people are from different walks of lives. That could be psychologists, accountants, like I said. You know, they could be, you know, healthcare workers, you name it. Like, these people are coming from different types of backgrounds, and yet they still have this kind of duty as human beings as to what they have to do on this earth. And I came to realize a few more things too, that these people are or incarnated as human beings to correct the wrongs from their star families. And as they were doing it themselves, they basically come to Earth to duplicate what happened to them in the future. So it's actually karmic fixing that they are doing for their own future.
Wow.
Which is kind of interesting. And this has been experienced by at least three or four people during this workshop that I did. So it's kind of an amazing that they all came to realize that. And then, like I said, those people didn't come with those kind of expectations. And they had those realizations while being here.
Wow, amazing. Now, Sebastian, you really came to notoriety, if you will, by you remote viewed inside 3IALIS. So
yes.
Everybody knows Sebastian has helped find missing children. He's done work with the alphabet agencies. He's the real thing. So you looked inside Atlas. You saw the reptilian Dracos in stasis. What have you seen? What have you been engaged, if you can talk about it, to look for going forward since then? And what do you see?
What I'm seeing is, like, we have to be prepared, because before we were not prepared. And I think that the situations we are in right now is we need to awaken to our true missions, not just like, you know, believing that we are just star seeds and we just need to be open up and trying to save humanity or even the Earth with our energy. This is a real battle that's going to happen. And I think that most people don't really see it as an actual reality. The thing, it sounds nice to actually just, you know, picture it and then basically just say, oh, yeah, it maybe in the future this could happen. It sounds nice. You know, I can use my abilities to do this and that. But the fact is, like, this is actually your new reality that's going to happen. And I've seen the transitions from the star families contacting the star seeds on Earth and merging almost like their DNA with theirs. So while you still retain your identity, there is some kind of work that's going to be done, physically speaking, within your DNA that will allow you to enhance your ability mixed with your memories that you are going to be remembering from who you are as a species, but also from the future as a starseed. So it's very complex and very interesting. But, you know, the interesting point that I saw from the people coming in is they first took it very lightly. And this was the goal, you know, for people to enjoy themselves and take it lightly at first. And then when it starts sinking in and when they started thinking this is reality, this is very, you know, serious, they were just changing their mindset. And it was almost more of a survival instinct trying to say, how do we do this? You know, they were almost like panicking, thinking, I'm not ready right now. I don't know how to open up a portal. I don't know how to blast energy out of my hands. So all of these things are still new. But at the same time, they actually believe that this is going to be their new reality in the future. So how that's going to unfold for them and how that's going to be unfolding for every single starseed around the planet is we're going to be seeing an emergence of more centers around the globe, like Terra Novelis, all around the globe, and people awakening to their new reality very soon. And it's already happening. Mm-hmm. Many centers are already seeing that, and I'm communicating with more people, and that's exactly what is being, you know, talked about, that people are awakening. They don't even know why. Most people don't know why. Right. It just happens. And that's the thing that people have to pay attention to, is their awakening process and paying attention to those synchronicities and finding out, why am I awakening? What's going on to me? What's mm-hmm. happening to me?
Yep.
And sometimes following your intuition is what will lead you in on the right track. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. Most of these people who come over here, they're doing it because they feel that they follow their intuition, and then they leave with the exact same responses that they were expecting at the end while doing the workshop here and other places and in other centers. They are awakening to their true potential.
Okay. So moving forward then, we have, everybody's talking about disclosure now. 5 years ago, yes. Nobody was talking about it. We saw the commercial on the Super Bowl for the Spielberg movie. I mean, he's done a lot of work in the past with disclosure. Obviously, the government works with Hollywood on a lot of information dissemination. How does disclosure fall in line with what's happening with the star seeds and the Dracos and the upcoming, you know, potential war going on? Because people are still not on Earth. Obviously, not everybody's comfortable with, oh, there's ET life. It seems like the timetable has sped up. It used to be like, oh, 15, 10, 15 years from now. Now it's like now.
Right now. Yes. So this is a twofold process, Robert. You have to imagine that there are people within every agency that are pro-disclosure, and some will want to preserve the truth for different reasons. And many people don't know why. You know, it might just be secrecy, could just be keeping the layers of society as we have them today. So without disturbing everything, but just trying to just float with whatever changes, you know, happen regardless through the pro-disclosure movement. So the pro-disclosure movement is about self-disclosure regardless. It's not like full-blown disclosure simply because they know it would be too much for people to handle. The technologies, they also are trying to let the banking industries and the basically the governments and everybody in charge of the healthcare trying to adapt to the new changes, because they will be embracing new forms of technologies, new forms of handling society. So that takes time to switch over to this new idea. The banking system is already accepting the idea of like UFOs and ET reality and how this will have an impact on the stock exchange. Mm-hmm. So they are very worried of that, but they're also very careful, and they are also being very serious about it, moving forward towards like a cryptocurrency systems mm-hmm. backed up by gold, basically assets rather than just like air and the fiat currency.
Right.
So this is what's going to happen moving forward. So they want to stabilize the banking industry and trying to make it more robust than it used to be. And obviously trying to take care of themselves with the wealth that each country has able to, you know, keep basically to be a strong nation and fighting the changes. That's the pro disclosure aspect. The non-disclosure aspect of the people who are willing to safeguard the current status is not just to do that. You have to realize that the reality of the programs that do exist within governments even is that if people realize, like when we heard about, you know, sex trafficking, we heard about adenochrome, we heard about all of these missing children disappearing around the world, you know, the true reality of all of this, you know, you have about 1 million children vanishing across the globe every year. If you think that, you know, this is enough to account for sex trafficking, adenochrome, you know, food for direct reptilians, mm-hmm. you know, this is too much. This is per year.
Wow.
Okay. So the reality of this, and this is what the government is hiding, is that there's a program that was created by Dwight Eisenhower in 1953 with the Grey Nations. And the program was to have a human exchange. And so they were kidnapping the children for their own genetic program. So most of his kids are going through these ET programs. And when the nations are going to be realizing that this has been ongoing for years, and some of these kids have been gone for these kind of experiments with the approvals of each government, that would really stir up things up. And that's what people don't want to release.
Okay.
This is the main reason why they don't want to release. Mm-hmm. It's not because of the sex trafficking. This, we know this is ongoing. You know, it can be stopped. Mm-hmm. We have so many things going on about that. But again, when you have like over almost close to 2,000 children disappearing per day, you know, it's quite challenging. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be like, I was involved in a mission where I saved over 100 kids, and that's just like a drop in the ocean compared mm-hmm. to what's truly going on around the world. Mm-hmm. So, and that's very disturbing too. So obviously we know that this is ongoing on Earth, that we are dealing with a very sick people, also very disturbed people who are working for governments and secret societies, and they want power, they want money, they want to be linked to the direct reptilians. All of this has been ongoing for years. So we're going to be seeing a shift, and I'm hoping that the sovereignty of the people is finally going to be respected through this awakening process. And then we're going to be able to stop this machine of, you know, basically propaganda for abducting children and using them for, you know, such and this, like adenochrome and all of that. Even the people in governments or the people in secret societies who have been using those techniques to stay younger, live longer, mm-hmm. Also came to realize after 3 Atlas that they were left alone by the direct reptilians.
Right.
And so they panicked. Because they thought, oh, we thought that we're going to be like their loved ones and their promised ones. And at the end, they were just given up because of the CMEs that occurred. You know, they were about to wipe out everyone regardless of who they were. And that's exactly what those people realized, that they were abandoned by the Dracos.
So in other words, they had tacit agreements in place with the Dracos that they would kind of turn on their fellow man and women on Earth to stay in power. And then they yes. realized they were being double played by the Dracos, and they That's became right. very concerned. So where yes. are we with that going forward? The elite, I would assume, wants to stay in power, but not yes. with the Dracos.
That's right.
So does this give the White Hats, an upper hand now?
It does. So basically, the governments now are actually receiving information from those people, from the elites now, where before they were just keeping things to themselves. And the new consensus is that the Draco reptilians are no longer a threat for like a passive takeover of Earth. Mm-hmm. They would have to physically take arms to actually invade the planet and fighting whoever is going to be around. So if it's the Galactic Alliance or not, they will fight them off. So, you know, I came to realize something too, is when the people came to the workshop, they also had those kind of weird connections to the direct reptilians in a good way and in a bad way. The only good way that they could discuss or talk about was that they had a treaty signed between the Dracos and their home planet to prevent a war. So pretty much like what happened in Europe when there were arranged marriages between nations to prevent, you know, wars and, you know, promote peace, the Dracos are doing the same thing. And so this came to realization, like from Andromeda, for example, like most of these people came to the workshop, saw their home planets or their loved ones killed by the Dracos. So the Dracos have a huge influence in the universe. They certainly have enough power to overcome many nations or many species mm-hmm. who are highly evolved with very strong technologies like the Pleiadians, for example. So if they have the capacity to do this, and you know, you'd think that coming to Earth would be like a piece of cake for them. But because of the Alliance, and again, the Alliance was created and the Council is fully aware of the direct reptilians coming to Earth, and so they are prepared. But that's the only one way they can be defeated. But it still doesn't stop them
okay.
because the direct reptilians are not working alone either. They do work with other people. They were relying on the Nordics, for example. The Nordics were a rogue group of the Pleiadians who are also on Earth and based in Antarctica, could have a major role to play with the direct reptilians moving forward. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but this is what we are facing on Earth. So there will be a lot of insurgents coming from different locations on the planet, basically, it doesn't have to be underground. Lots of reptilians will be coming through portals. So regardless of where they are, if it's like through tunnels or in open air, they will be coming through. But what they don't know is that those portals can also be used by star families or the Galactic Alliance to come through, to also use those portals to come to Earth physically. So we had one session with Jinhua, who was basically blasting the silhouettes coming through one of the portals, and she was unsure as to what they were, if they were star families or Draco reptilians.
Wow.
And because she said, like, I'm new to this. She felt kind of a newbie, and with her new acquired powers, working with this other guy who was also at the workshop, trying to say, how can we do this? Like, we are just learning this. But they were trying to understand how they could feel the energy coming out from the portal as a silhouette, not sure if it was going to be a direct reptilian or a star family member.
Wow.
So they had to learn that from feeling it.
All right. Sebastian Martin, remote viewer extraordinaire. And I don't know what your role is going to be in the future, but it's going to be important for humanity, Sebastian. So thanks for being back on the show. Now, this upcoming war, if you will, how is it going to be fought? Because I know the Dracos use psionics, and is it going to be a hand-to-hand? They like hand-to-hand combat also, as I understand. How is humanity going to fight them? How are the Star Seeds going to fight them? How are the Dracos who are integrated into society going to behave? What's this going to look like? And is this going to be in 2026, 2027?
No, I don't believe it's going to be that early. I think we have time to prepare for that. I think it's going to be most likely a gradual event. Like, I think those direct reptilians coming to Earth through those portals are going to be happening as soon as 2026. To see if they're all going to come at once, I don't believe that's going to be the case. And the reason being is because the Galactic Alliance is already around, and they're not going away. They're already sticking around and staying around. So for them to really truly have an impact on Earth, they would need more than just two ships coming from the Draco constellation. Mm-hmm. They would need like an armada of ships, not just two of them. So the two ships that we talked about were just backup ships to 3 Atlas. So those ships are coming in. I don't know if they're just coming in reconnaissance, trying to witness what's happened, to get an assessment as to what truly is happening. And what you have to realize is the Draco reptilians on 3 Atlas, the 5 million beings on there, mm-hmm. had to leave the ship. Some of them teleported back to their home planet. Mm-hmm. Some of them went back to Mars in spaceships. So different modes of transportations. But if they can use those two ships as portals between their home planets and Earth, using their ships as portals, and then using another media on Earth as another portal to come finally here and fight us off, the way I've seen it is, even as star seeds, we're going to be working with one another. There's no way we can defeat one Draco alone. No way. Mm-hmm. So I have seen it with my own eyes when we had like three or four star seeds members fighting one Draco, and each has what their own function. So this sounds like very much like science fiction.
How would that work? Give me an
okay.
Example.
So for example, one a Draco has this weapon that extract the soul energy from you, for example. So they will be using that piece of technology to extract your soul and prevent you to go back to your star family and to make your star family weaker by default for the future. So they're doing that for one individual. When there's one person out of the star members who are basically stopping the use of that direct reptilian's body, so they will basically be paralyzed. They won't be able to move. Then they will be able to disable the weapon. Then they will be able to target its mind to confuse him. And then there will be, so there's different ways of attacking the Draco, mm-hmm. and it takes steps. It's a step-by-step process because the Draco reptilians using psionic attacks can use, you can just use their minds, even if their body is physical inactive. So this is why it's a step-by-step process to disable them physically first, so they don't use their weapons and they don't attack physically. Second is to disable them mentally. And then third is to basically disable them physically by just wiping them out.
Is there a way to, once a Draco makes a move on trying to catch somebody's soul, where apparently then they can destroy the soul and the person can't come back and that's it, they're gone. If once they have started that process, is there a way to stop it?
Yeah, so the weapon itself is not a soul destroyer, it's a soul capturer. So it captures the soul. It's pretty much like in Ghostbusters when you have this machine or that box, when the ectoplasm goes inside and stays there before it gets, you know, kicked out or like goes into fumes. They pretty much can do the same thing. So it holds the soul energy at first, and then it could be potentially basically converted. So that soul energy could potentially go back to source. They could never destroy it. They could try to destroy it, but it's more about commuting this source energy back into source as an own non-individualistic soul. While if you kill the body and the soul goes back to the star family, you retain your identity and the soul recognizes it as part of like a Pleiadian or an Arcturian or an Andromedan. So that stays intact.
I see.
You die as a human being, we are still connected to our star families, so we don't lose this identity. We are who we are today, you know, based on our DNA, but also based on our soul memories. And so all of the stuff that we go through when we get hypnotized and everything else, we remember who we are. And it sounds genuine and it feels genuine because it feels real. And I have no other way to describe it. And I can maybe go back and branching out to the hypnosis session I did with Sarah Bressman's Cosme for 3 hours. And this was a very unusual experience for me, because the last time I got hypnotized was in 2012, 2013 maybe. So it's been a long time. And I didn't know what to expect from this session, and I didn't know the kind of questions I was going to be asked. So for me, it was about experiencing whatever came and what was important to me at that time. And so when I relived that experience, the first thing I saw was being inside a Pleiadian spacecraft. And I saw details that I've never encountered or saw before. I saw, and again, this was experienced by other people coming through the workshops. Maybe Uni or yourself, you know, could maybe comment on that. When I saw my Pleiadian self with my clothes on, I also had a bracelet on my left arm. And that bracelet commanded the type of clothes I was wearing. So it felt like it was silky enough that it could just formalize or you know, basically just form on my body. It could have been like a suit, or it could be a gown. It could be anything I wish to have, or even an armor. It's all commanded by this bracelet that I was wearing. And this bracelet gave me access to soul energy as well. So I was able to connect to source from this bracelet. I was able to be more empathetic. I was able to feel more, all from that bracelet alone, all from this piece of technology that, you know, control space and time, like higher dimensions. I was able to see higher dimensions from all from that bracelet.
Were you going back, Sebastian, or are you going into the future when she hypnotized
you? In the future. Okay. This was in the future. So I saw myself as a commander for this Pleiadian spacecraft, and I saw lines around my collarbones. Like basically you could see white lines going underneath the collar, and one of them was like broken down into lines, and that gave my rank. And everybody on board had the same kind of design, but different, like it could be just one line or two lines. I had three in total plus one that was broken down, and then that gave me my rank. And so that was interesting because I could see myself through the glass of the cockpit. Basically, I could see it was still darkness. I could see some kind of light source coming from the left-hand side, but I could see my reflection. And I was able to describe myself as a Pleiadian, like pretty much like high cheekbones, big eyes, you know, my wavy hair going all the way to my shoulder length, tall being maybe like 7 feet tall, wearing this blue uniform. And then Sarah asked me something unusual. She said, well, let's go back to this bracelet, Sebastian. She said, can you tell me when you first had it, when it was put on you first? Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized that I was sitting in this room. It was some sort of initiation, a ceremony of some kind. My star family was there. Zoe, my star brother, was not born, so he was not there. But there were people from the Galactic Alliance and the Council there from different species. And I could see this old man walking, coming through towards me, who was Pleiadian, but didn't look Pleiadian. So I felt, I even knew his name. It was something like Xian or something like that. It was a weird name, hard to pronounce in human terms. But he came to me with his bracelet. It was open up like this. So what was interesting is as he brought it over, there were spikes on the inside of the bracelet, like very sharp, long spikes. And so when a bracelet goes and attached to my wrist, the spikes go straight into my bone structure.
Okay.
And he becomes part of me. And so when he did that, I felt overwhelmed. I could feel all of his downloads happening to me. I could feel everything in the room. I could feel everybody's emotions. I could feel connected to the source while receiving those downloads. Mm-hmm. And the weight of the duty and the responsibilities that I bore as like an 8 to 9 years old Pleiadian. That's how that was when that happened to me. It was very overwhelming, and I started basically just crying under hypnosis. And I was so overwhelmed by the emotions that I didn't know how to cope with it, and I had no words for it.
Did they tell you why you were getting this initiation, particularly at this young age? Was it part of what was that all about?
So I'm basically part of a star family that is royal. So my dad and mom are like queens and kings. And so I'm a kind of a prince for the star families. But, you know, this is just from one home planet. Now, it doesn't mean that this is like the king and queens of the whole of the Pleiades. Mm-hmm. They just represented their home planet. And so that's the role I played. And only my star family has those bracelets. The regular Pleiadians, even those on board, didn't have those same bracelets as mine. Mm-hmm. So they had some kind of technologies to use, but they didn't have the actual bracelet that I had. So that was a very unique form of bracelet that allowed me to discover things that I didn't know before. When Zoe showed up to me as an hologram in my house, I thought he was physical at first. He didn't have a bracelet on. I didn't see it on him. But again, it could have been because he was just an hologram. Therefore, whatever I decided to show was based on whatever I was willing to take.
What was the world like when you received your initiation and then going forward? Versus, were you on Earth? Were you on another planet?
No, okay. I was in the Pleiades on my home planet. But so you have to realize that Sarah witnessed this live, right? And mm-hmm. she was like seeing me being very disturbed by what was going on, and so she basically asked me to move forward and to go in a place where I felt happy. Mm-hmm. Without the emotions and the burden of the emotions I was experiencing. Mm-hmm. And when I ended up to be riding some kind of beast that looked like a horse, but it was not a horse. It was a weird, you know, alien being that was like running through
like
these
Avatar
fields. Yeah. But it was not as good looking. It had like a skull that was very flat, like a really long skull, and with very sharp teeth at the bottom. The eyes were on the side, very small, and then the ears were just like slits on the side of the head. With like, it was a beast that looks like a greyhound with like a long tail. Mm-hmm. But in human form here, it would be the equivalent of like a massive elk.
Okay, cool.
So, but for a Pleiadian, that was like the size of a small ride. Because, you know, they are taller than the regular being. So riding those beasts was kind of their mode of transportation for fun. And I was riding alongside Zoe, my star brother, heading towards the palace. And so we're actually riding through this meadow, and I could see all the vegetation around. It was very green, and there was a lot of sweetness in the air that I could smell. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, in my mouth, I could taste earth and metallic taste. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a weird thing. And the palace was so large and so uniform. It had like long spikes, and it was very much designed like a fort. So like the windows were very narrow, elongated, very thin.
Sure.
And it was built in one piece, like one type of technology. Mm-hmm. And then the entrance of the gates, they had like two guards, and they were plating guards in full armor with like helmets on and everything. And they were holding those tridents in their arms, like in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And those tridents had Palladian writing on. And the head, so the trident head, I already knew right away what those tridents could do. And they were able to separate the head from the body, that it would be sent like a boomerang to pierce an enemy and then come back onto the shaft. And the whole weapon was designed as an energy weapon as well. So using those three spikes of the trident, so it had like multi-functions, but I knew all of this right away. Like it was so clear to me when I saw that and witnessed that in full detail.
Okay. All right. Sebastian Martin, our special guest, return guest on Guys, Guys Radio. It looks like we're going to have to do a third session here, but what was the net result of what you experienced, and what was the takeaway that Sarah had and you had in terms of this session of hypnosis when you went into the future and saw yourself as a Palladian?
Yeah. So the final results is she wants you to find out when that bracelet, when I first or last had it. And that's when I died as a Palladian. And I saw myself as a white being on a slab without a bracelet on. And my whole body was transforming and merging with the fog of consciousness. So basically I was transcending into a new reality. And it didn't feel like death. It felt just like transmuting into something else. But my whole physical body was vanishing.
Amazing.
That's what I saw with my own eyes.
Okay.
And then at the end, she was asking me to talk through from my higher self, from source consciousness directly. My whole body language, my whole voice changed. And I don't remember what I said when I said it on camera.
Did she tell you?
And I was able to watch it. She recorded it. So it sounded like I was able to come up with very minimalistic words when she asked, you know, what is the role of humanity on Earth? And I said, to learn. And I said, well, what do we have to learn? And I said, we need to learn how to fix karmic or karma from our past lives, but also from our future lives.
Mm.
Fantastic. Because most people don't really understand the correlations between our future lives and our past lives, because life is not linear as we know it. And therefore, it could be from different star systems. It could be from the multiverse. It's all joint. It's all connected. And because we are all one, this is what we all have to embrace moving forward, is to understand the vastness of this life source energy and how we can commute with that and how we can become one.
So we didn't get to what's going to happen in 2029, but we're going to get back to that in a future episode. But for now, with all the information you just put out there and everything that's going on, day-to-day people who they don't know if they're a starseed or not, they don't know what's going on. They're being, you know, disclosures being floated in front of them. What would be your best advice for everybody in our audience as to how to handle the coming surge of events that's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, if your audience is listening to this episode and they will be acquainted to the idea of it, and then at the end of the day, they're going to be bombarded with more information in the media, on their feed, it's going to be becoming more and more realistic to them. And they're going to be opening up to this new reality. And then all of a sudden, that's going to be triggering an interest automatically. They won't even have to seek it. It will happen.
Fantastic.
And so that new reality is going to be happening to them very shortly. I've known people that in the last while were now awakening to this new reality when a year ago they had no clue and had no interest of it whatsoever. And now they're becoming interested. So it's happening everywhere. And that's basically how it's going to go.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sebastian. Here's the book, the autobiography, Inner Journey to Outer Space, Sebastian Martin. Telenovelas, where can people find out more about your workshops?
They can go to www.terranovelis.com, which is T-E-R-R-A, Novelis, Novelis.com, and then they can just book the workshops from the website, and they can also see the kind of online presentations that we'll be doing. My next one will be opening February 15th, and I will be doing more and more as time goes by online, where people can learn more from their star families, also from source consciousness, and so on. So I will be doing more stuff online.
Is there one in March?
There will be one in March, yes.
Okay, very good. Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Sebastian. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you for having me, Robert, again.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another fascinating conversation with my pal Sebastian Martin, who runs the Terra Novelis Workshop and Retreat Center up in Duncan, British Columbia. As I've mentioned previously, I attended a week-long workshop there, focused on remote viewing and getting in touch with star family and really going inside and learning more about ourselves. And it was I found it transformative, as almost anybody who's attended his workshops will claim that they're important and they're helpful. And now we have a community of folks who've attended the workshops, and we're here to help planet Earth in the coming times. As we discussed, humanity and Earth dodged a bullet when 3i Atlas was disabled back in December. And a lot of people said, see, nothing happened. 3i Atlas came in peace. Well, a lot of folks thought that, and a lot of people disagree with that. But the good news is, even if you were prepping or warning your neighbors to prep and get ready for what could be some type of power outages or whatever, things that didn't happen, the good news is they didn't happen. So it's okay to be wrong when the result is something positive. Now, according to Sebastian, what he has seen and what he's discussed with his colleagues at some of the alphabet agencies is that the next challenge for us on planet Earth and for humanity will be the Draco's returning. They do have two ships heading our way, but apparently their plan, as we discussed, is that they want to re-enter Earth via the portals that are around the planet in various locations. So with the efforts of the Galactic Federation, which is human plus ETs, and the SSP, and the Galactic Alliance, which is basically ETs who don't get involved unless there's a direct threat on Earth, that it's going to be a tenuous situation over the next couple of years. So we'll see what happens. We did not get into the big event that's supposed to happen in April of 2029. So for next time, for part three, we're going to get into that. But folks, a lot is going to happen. Everybody said 2026, but that's just the beginning. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready to rock, because changes are a-coming, people. And the question is, are you ready? We're ready here on Guys Guys Radio, whatever happens. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.